Now it is time
to get into the word. So for those who came in late, I am Myron Chris Florence, and I am a student at Columbia Theological Seminary. I'm so excited and so happy to be here with you all today. I told them earlier this was my third time at the church, but my second time here at the upper room. I was here at the, I guess, the induction ceremony, induction service. So I'm so excited to be here with you all today. And today we're going to look at the question, stand up, speak out. Why should I? Stand up, speak out. Why should I? We're coming from Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. Listen now for the word. The Lord gave me this message. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. O sovereign Lord, I said, I can't speak for you. I'm too young. The Lord replied, don't say I'm too young, for you must go wherever I send you and say whatever I tell you. And don't be afraid of the people, for I will be with you and will protect you. I, the Lord, have spoken. Then the Lord reached out and touched my mouth and said, today I have put my words in your mouth. Today I point you to stand up against nations and kingdoms. Some you must uproot and tear down, destroy and overthrow. Others you must build up and plant. Let us pray. God, we thank you for this time to come together to delve deeper into your word. God, we pray that you would speak to our hearts and speak to our minds. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, just as we get started, I am what I consider an interactive preacher. So I'm going to get you to talk to me, talk back to me. I'm going to get you to talk back to your neighbor. So everybody just kind of move your cheeks a little bit. You know, we got to warm up because I can tell we're a little tired today. It's raining outside, and I know I feel like going back to sleep too. So just shake it out a little bit. Just shake. Oh, I don't see you shaking. Just stand up. Shake. Everybody standing. Shake it out. All right, you can have a seat. Nobody wants to come to church and then fall asleep. I could stay at home and I'm going to fall asleep, right?
That's right.
Right? Okay. So first, we're going to look at this. We're going to really delve deeper into this. So let's look at verses 4 through 5. The Lord gave me this message. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. Stand up, speak out. Why should you? First thing, and I have 3 points and then we're going to be done. First thing is, you have value. Somebody say, you have value.
You have value.
Look at your neighbor, the person sitting beside you, and say, you have value.
You have value.
Now the person that, now ask that person, did you believe that? Huh? Say it again. Did you believe that? I don't think they believed you. This time, say it like you really mean it. You have value.
You
have. Yes. As we look at this text, it says 3 things, this part of the text. It says you were formed, you were set apart, and you were appointed. What does that mean? Formed means you are made with purpose. Do you know that? You are made with purpose. God, in Psalms 139:14 says, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. God does not make junk. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And then, not only are you fearfully and wonderfully made, but you are set apart, which means you are unique. Just look at your fingerprint, your thumbprint. No one has that same fingerprint but you. Isn't that amazing? God took time to fashion each and every one of us individually. So that means, like, if something is made in a factory, it's just cookie cutter, then you can, it's a little cheaper. But when you have something that's handmade, handcrafted, it's unique, one of a kind, then the value of that thing just really increases. And you are that handcrafted, hand-molded, hand-shaped thing. You should be smiling because you should feel good that you have value and you are unique. And then this is the part that we all, especially us lazy people, we don't necessarily like, because you are appointed. And appointed means that you have work to do. Say, you have work to do.
You have work to do.
Thank you. So it's important, it's so important that you know your value, because when you don't know your value, you settle for less than the best. Can I walk around a little bit? When you don't know your value, you settle for less. Let's say I pick up a rock and I look at it and I don't know what it is. It's clear, it's shiny. Oh, okay, this is a nice rock. And then somebody asks me, can I buy that from you? Oh, okay, well, sure. Here you go, $5, give it to me. And you exchange for that rock. But then what you did not know is that rock was a diamond. You sold it for $5 when you could have charged $1,000. And that's how we are. When you don't know your value, you settle for less. In friendships and relationships, we say, okay, well, this person doesn't treat me right, but I guess I'll just take it because I'm just happy that they're there. I'm just happy to have a friend. But when you start to increase your value, when you start to know your value, then you say, I won't just expect you or accept you talking to me any kind of way. I won't just except you talking bad about me or talking down to me because I have value. Someone say, I have value.
I have value.
Amen. But if you, just in case you don't know your value, you better ask somebody. And ask somebody that you trust. Because there are some people out there that if you ask them, especially siblings are this way, if you ask them, What's my value? Let's say you're worthless. You know, siblings can be mean. But if you know somebody, have somebody that you trust, you can have somebody like Irene. What do you think my value is? What do you think? What good do you see in me? And she might say, oh, I think you're a great singer. I think you're a good preacher. Or I think you have this skill or that skill, whatever it may be. But when you start to hear that thing, then you can start to internalize and repeat that thing to yourself. You know what? I am important. I am valuable. I am special. So we should speak up and speak out because you have value. But number two, you have a voice. In verse 6, Jeremiah says, O sovereign Lord, I said, I can't speak for you. I'm too young. And I can hear God saying now, excuses, excuses, excuses. Because when we look at the Bible, there were plenty of people with plenty of excuses. And can I just tell you a few of those? Moses stuttered. David's armor didn't fit. John Mark was rejected by Paul. Hosea's wife was a prostitute. Amos's only training was in the school of fig tree pruning. Jacob was a liar. David had an affair. Solomon was too rich. Abraham was too old. David was too young. Timothy had ulcers. Peter was afraid of death. Lazarus was dead. John was self-righteous. Jesus was too poor. Naomi was a widow. Paul was a murderer, and so was Moses. Jonah ran from God. Miriam was a gossip. Gideon and Thomas both doubted. Jeremiah, he was depressed and suicidal. Elijah was burnt out. John the Baptist was a loud mouth. Martha was a worrywart. Mary was lazy. Samson had long hair. Noah got drunk. Did I mention that Moses had a short fuse? So did Peter, Paul, well, lots of people. So, as we look at the Bible, if you are scared, and if you have all these excuses, then you're in good company. Because the only difference between the people in the Bible and us is that we know their story. We can look back, because they've lived their lives, and we can look back and see how they moved on. But we know that they still, in spite of these excuses, they did not allow that to limit them, to hinder them from moving forward. So now, it's time for us to see and to ask, what is your excuse? Look at your neighbor and say, what is your excuse? And just think about that for a moment. Just think about it. What is it? You say, I'm too young, not smart enough, not handsome, I'm not pretty enough. I didn't go to the right school. I wasn't born in the right family, the right culture. What is your excuse? And the more we speak these things, the more we start to believe it. And you can tell when someone has been speaking doubt and negativity, because it changes your posture. It changes your disposition. When you start to say, I'm ugly, then you start to look down. You start to slump your shoulders over. Your disposition is really, really bad, really poorly. But when you start to speak positive, when you start to say, I am a child of God, God loves me, your head starts to lift up. You start to walk with boldness. You start to act like you have $1 million in the bank and you don't have a dollar to your name. Because you believe and you know that you have value and that you have a voice. This is a writing by a guy called Garrison Keillor. Said, God was saying to me, witness to this and reveal the truth about this and be a prophet. And I said, no, thank you. I don't want it. God said, this will be a great service to people you love, to tell them the truth. And I said, they're not going to thank me for it. I know that for sure. People hurt prophets. They throw sharp things at them. I don't want that. I don't want any pain whatsoever. Minor dentistry is more than enough pain for me. So no, thank you. I don't want to be a prophet. And to tell the truth, what can I do that's the opposite of that? And so I got into this line of work, telling lies. We start to believe the lies that we tell ourselves, that I can't speak for you, I'm too young, I can't do this, I can't. But I charge you today to start saying, I can. I can do what God is calling you to do. I can speak to somebody. I can encourage somebody. I can. Someone say, I can.
I can.
But then there is a spoiler alert. When you speak up, you stand out. Now, it's easy to be in the crowd. It's easy to want to fit in. And I admit it, I'm that way too. I'm an introvert. I don't like to draw attention to myself. You see me standing up here singing and speaking, but if truth be told, I would prefer to just be back right there where you all are and just looking. I can encourage somebody, good job. Ooh, good job. But it's different when you speak up, because when you speak up, you automatically go against the grain. Now, I've been doing a little research and talking to some of my Korean friends at seminary, and they tell me, I'm learning, correct me if I'm wrong, but the Korean community is very communal. It's very conformative in that you're expected to act a certain way. You're expected to be a certain way. You expect to, your parents might have, and grandparents might have expectations for you for what you do, what career you pursue, who you marry. They may have all of these expectations, but when God calls you out, sometimes God will challenge that, and you won't be able to fit in. God might say, I want you to go here. Your family is here, but God might say, I want you to go out and preach, or I want you to go and do a different path that it might be countercultural, but will you go? Will you dare to be different? Because it can be lonely sometimes, answering the call. That's what Jeremiah felt. He felt the loneliness. I don't want to be ostracized. I don't want to be talked about. I don't want to be ridiculed. I want to just fit in with the crowd. But that's why it is so important that you must know your value. Because when you get out there and when you step out, people will start to talk about you. People will start to criticize you. And if you are not careful, you will believe their lies. But when you know who I am, when you know who you are, you can say, I'm doing what God told me to do, and I am still valuable. I am still important. So then we're going to go to verses 7 through 8. The Lord replied, don't say I'm too young, for you must go wherever I send you and say whatever I tell you. And don't be afraid of the people, for I will be with you and I will protect you. I, the Lord, have spoken. What God calls you to is bigger than you. What God calls you to is bigger than you. Of course it is. Because if it weren't, you wouldn't need God. You could do it yourself. But God challenges us, and God calls us to faith. Secondly, God knows that you are afraid. God doesn't ask you not to be afraid. God knows that you're scared when God tells you to do something different, to go out and to speak or to preach or to do whatever it is, whatever field God calls you to. But God still wants you to do it, to step out, and in spite of your fear, to do what God has told you to do. And the Bible says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God is with me. And if God is for me, who can be against me? If God called you, God will prepare you for the work. Somebody said, God will prepare me for the work.
God will prepare me for the work.
Again, say, God will prepare me for the work.
Prepare me for the work.
Hashtag, you were born for this. Look at your neighbor and say, you were born for this. Oh, say it a little louder. You were born for this. I told you I'm going to get you to talk. You were born for this. And if you're on social media, you can just hashtag, you were born for this. Encourage somebody and say, you were born for this. Because even at the beginning, even as Jeremiah was just going about his day, doing his thing, God called him and God said, I formed you, and I created you for a purpose. So I already know what you can and cannot do, and I gave you a purpose. So then, in verse 9, then the Lord reached out and touched my mouth and said, look, I have put my words in your mouth. Today I appoint you, each and every one of you, to stand up. Jeremiah had to stand up against nations and kingdoms. Some you must uproot and tear down, destroy and overthrow. Others you must build up and plant. Stand up, speak out. Why should you first? You have value. Somebody say you have value.
You have value.
Two, do you remember what it was?
You have a voice.
You have a voice. And number three, you have a vocation. As I looked in the dictionary at dictionary.com, it said the vocation, one definition, is a divine call to God's service or to the Christian life. A divine call to God's service or to the Christian life. But then as I looked at other definitions, I decided to make up my own definition. So the vocation, according to MyronChris.com, is that thing that you cannot not do. Let me say that again. That thing that you cannot not do. There are times in your life where you can try to run from it, but it'll keep you awake at night. You'll wake up in the morning and just be thinking about this thing. It might be something that might seem minuscule to someone else, but as you start to think about it, it just bothers you. Like, I had a friend, and we were talking, we were in the staff meeting at the church where I work, and he came in, and he was just so upset. This woman was bullying somebody else, and it's just getting on my nerves. Ooh, I'm so upset. And we're looking at him like, oh, okay, calm down, But we were okay with it. But he was so hurt and so furious about it. That might be what God is calling him to deal with, to challenge and to deal with people that are bullying and to fight against bullying. Question today, what is God calling you to? What is God calling you to? It might be different for each and every one of us in this room, but what is God calling you to? And then what do you need to hear God say before you will step out and do it? Think about that. What do I need to hear God say before I will make a move? Again, as I was talking to some of the Korean students at my seminary, some of the women particularly voiced that in Korean culture, not this church, but in other churches, that women in ministry aren't really accepted. That even though they graduate and have an MD, they may or may not have a job for them. What would make them still go out, go to seminary 3 years, 4 years, and do something, knowing that they may or may not have a job? That culture may or may not receive them. But when God has placed something in you, you cannot not do it. Regardless of who says what or who does what, God has placed that in you. God has placed that in them. And they don't have a choice. Then I look at my own call story. I tried to run away from ministry. In my context, ministry pastors were always bivocational. Most times they didn't get paid by the church. They had to work a 9-to-5 job to pay the bills, and then they volunteered at the church if they ever got any type of funds. So knowing this, I said, okay, I want to make some money. I want to go into a field that I know that I can make money, and I can still do church stuff and still do that on the side, but that, I don't want to focus on that. So I went to school, and at the time, web design was doing well, so I did graphic and web design. Went to school, got a bachelor's, master's, Atlanta Art Institute and Savannah College of Art Design, did all of that, still couldn't find a job. So then, when I finally found a job, this is some years ago, found my dream job, I was so excited. It was one of those jobs, it wasn't even a job, it was a career. It's one of those things where you go to work on Monday morning, and by the time you look up, it's Friday again. You're like, wow, I love this job. This is life, this is living. So I had a piece of that. And then 3 months later, HR called me into the office and they said, unfortunately, we're gonna have to let you go, effective immediately. There's nothing you did, it's just the nature of the job. And I asked, well, is there anywhere else I can transfer? No, sorry, we're gonna walk you to your desk, collect your things, and walk you out of the building. And as I got home, just kind of really unsure, like, what's going on? That's when I heard it. I don't know if you believe God speaks or not, but I've never heard God so clearly. And God said, okay, I let you do your thing. Now, are you ready to do mine? I let you do your thing. Now, are you ready to do mine? God is calling you, I don't know what God is calling you to do. But when God speaks, listen, because sooner or later, it's going to catch up with you. And if not you, then who? This is a poem of Martin Niemöller, a Protestant pastor back in the during the Holocaust. He wrote this. He said, "First they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me." "And there was no one left to speak for me." God is calling you to stand up and speak out. Will you answer the call? Will you answer the call?